Recording started? Okay, great.
Yes.
Okay, this is Jaime Guerra with UT, and I'd like to call to order the Gatton Technical Subcommittee meeting for July 21st, 2020. The time now is 1:30 p.m. Sarah, if you could lead us through a roll call vote, please.
Yes, I'm Sarah Eichelberger with Gatton. Frank Ammons, Gatton.
Present.
Bo Kinsey, Travis County.
Present.
Chris Gonzalez, Bricom.
Present.
Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Present.
Carlos DeMatos, Gatton.
Present.
Jaime Guerra, UT.
Present.
Gary Wiesman, ACC. Gary, you there?
He looks to be muted.
Yeah, I'll go back to him.
Okay.
Bruce Hermes,
now
City
I'm
of Austin.
Present.
Oh, there you go. Bruce Hermes, City of Austin.
Present.
John Colmorgan, AISD.
Present.
Harold Nall, UT.
Present.
Steve Pyle, DIR.
Present.
And we've got Mace Royston, who's being admitted from LCRA. Oh, says admit failed, but I think he'll be right back. And we've also got Wayne Wiedemeyer.
Okay, thank you. Agenda item number two, any citizens' communications? I guess that's you, Wayne.
Nope, I have none. Thank you.
Thank you. Agenda item number three, let's take a few minutes to review and approve the minutes from the technical subcommittee meeting of June 16th. Should be available in your handouts.
This is Gary Wiesman. Motion to approve the minutes.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
This is Steve. I second.
Okay, we got Steve Pyle, DIR, seconding. Any further discussion? Okay, all those. Oh, Sarah, could you take us through a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Steve Pyle, DIR.
Yes.
Bruce Hermes.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
John Colmorgan.
Aye.
Is that everyone, Sarah?
Yes, sorry.
Okay, the minutes are approved. Let's go into agenda item four, maintenance contractors update report and maintenance report and inventory report.
This is Chris Gonzalez with Bricom. Since our last meeting, we've completed inspections of A1N and A2N with 41 corrected deficiencies. In your handouts, you'll see there's two separate reports. these two rings fell in separate fiscal years. That's the reason behind the two reports. After reviewing last year's compared to the previous years, everything has been pretty steady as in deficiencies. I did notice about a 10% increase in the pending poll transfers. That has increased since the previous year, and we're continuing working on those as we come back on the secondary and third trips on inspections. Any questions regarding the maintenance?
Any additional maintenance items related to heat?
Nothing really related to heat. We had encountered one, we believe it's heat-related issue on the ASD strain on C1S that was corrected, that for some reason the link kept on restoring itself when the temperatures cooled down in the evening. But other than that, nothing outside of that issue.
Interesting. Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Chris on the maintenance report? Okay, let's take a look at our inventory then.
Okay, since our last minute inventory, the only changes that were made were to R708. This is a 192 that's been allocated to the B2S fiber relocation in the fiberlight conduit. We do have two 10,000 foot reels on order that we anticipate the ship date to be on 8/21, so right around the end of August, we should receive these two additional stock reels of 192.
Okay, thank you for that update. Does anyone have any questions on the inventory report? Hearing none, let's go on to agenda item number 5, network manager's update. 5A, Gatton Project Status Report.
Okay, for item 5A, we have the active developer projects listed. The active projects consist of two projects right now that we anticipate impact within 30 days. One's being called out as the Burleson Road Reroute, the Fiberlight Project. We've been working with the right-of-way department quite a bit on getting an extension to complete the work there. We've gotten that, I think it was yesterday, maybe possibly Friday, but we recently got it. And we've got that scheduled for August 3rd and 4th. Notifications have gone out for that. And then we've got the Super Ring North A2N reroutes for Capital Complex. That's a project that we're going to be discussing as a separate agenda item a little bit further on the agenda. And you'll see the list of current active projects, completed projects. We were able to complete the C1S temporary repair at South First Street and Emerald Wood Drive. And you'll see the future projects listed. We've got entity-specific active projects on board as well. And then we've got an entity-specific completed project, which was the B2 South Austin Del Valley Fire and EMS Fire Station 50. And then we have the entity-specific future projects called out as well. Are there any questions?
Just an update on an entity-specific project, the B1 North UT Pickle Research Center work. BRICOM completed the input work this past Saturday, and we're scheduled to do the output side this coming Saturday, which will be impactful to both the university and LCRA.
Thank you.
Hey, Frank, do you have all the AFD entity-specific projects on there? I didn't see any of those.
Let me see here. I should. I know I've been busy with them, trying to assist with them.
I guess there's a few up there on the top. I see. Okay.
Yeah, I think they're all in there. You've got Mancheca, Norman, Blazer, Southwest.
Okay.
I think that's the main ones I've been involved with. So if there's anything else that's not listed on here, John,
I'll let you know.
Yeah, please. Thanks.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions on these projects or any general questions on a project that may be listed on this here? Okay, then we shall move on in the agenda. Let's see, agenda item 5B, job budget tracking report.
Since the last meeting, I've added the splice case audits and the permanent repair at Bluff Springs Road that were approved in the last board meeting. You'll see at the top, the FY21 MAC budget includes that $275,000 transfer from the fund balance that was approved for the A1 North projects. And below, there are 10 jobs that were approved in FY20 but will be paid in FY21, totaling $359,000. At the next board meeting in August, we will ask the board to pay for those jobs from the fund balance. We'll be asking for a transfer for those jobs. That's all I have.
This is Jaime. John, do you have any concerns with that?
No, I mean, we'll just want specific details as to where we want the money to go, and we'll make that transfer happen.
Excellent. Okay, if there's no questions on any further questions on the job budget report, then we'll go to agenda item 5C, Gatton backup NOC status update.
For this one, there is the solicitation documents have been sent out to the bidders. And a link to the solicitation package was forwarded last week to all members. I don't know if you've had a chance to see that yet. You've seen the documentation before, but that's the official link that's available to you and also to the bidders. There's going to be a virtual proposal meeting scheduled for 10:30 a.m. on this Thursday, which is the 23rd. And the proposals are due August 18th. There's a link to that meeting on page 3, I believe, that pre-proposal package. The solicitation can be found at that previous link that I sent you. And as far as the project itself, I can tell you right now, it's clipping along really well. I don't know if you've seen the email I sent you at the end of last week, but we're moving forward at a good pace right now. We've got city council approval coming up for the mechanism of the bid on July 30th. Then the bid should follow that, as I said, August 18th. And everything seems to be going well, very well.
This is awesome news, Frank.
Yep. Frank, I'm curious, if we continue on this trajectory and the schedule, when do you expect construction to be completed?
Let me see here. So that's on the revised schedule I sent out to y'all, I believe, last week. But let me... So we're calling out for contract execution November 19th, 2020. I would say first quarter of 21, possibly. End of first quarter 21.
That's pretty good.
Yep. That's if all the permits go, you know, get approved as they should be. You know how we've been running with that lately, but I guess optimistically, the end of first quarter for 21. If not that, sometime mid second quarter of 21.
Okay. Fingers crossed.
Yes, sir.
Any more questions on the backup NOC? We have lots of details at our fingertips, but I didn't know if there's any high level things you wanted to ask while we got everyone together. All right, then, let's move on the agenda. Agenda item 5D, Gatton dark fiber testing update.
Okay, for this one, our vendor has been working on this, our maintenance vendor, and I'm going to let them speak to it. They updated me last week on it. I gave them a heads up that, you know, as they progress later in the latter part of last week, that I would ask them to speak to this in this meeting. So, Chris, if you would give us an update for that, please.
Chris, you're muted.
Okay, there we go. We had to backtrack to go back towards the ASD and wrap up about 3 rings for them this week. Once we wrap these rings up, we anticipate probably another 8 to 9 weeks to get everything completed. We did have another 2-week delay are two technicians that were assigned to this project from the initial get-go were exposed to COVID. So they were tested, sent to quarantine. So we did lose 2 weeks there, but we're trying to make up ground now. We really haven't experienced any access issues right now. I think the fact that there's not many people in the buildings is actually providing us access is a little smoother. That's all I got.
Okay. Any questions for Chris regarding dark fiber testing? Okay. Thank you, Chris, for that update. Agenda item 6, committee chairperson's update. 6A, TxDOT B1 North relocation at RM 620 and FM 2222, City of Austin entity specific project.
Okay, for this one, you know, all the members should be aware we've been discussing this TxDOT agreement. We're involved in this relocation of some City of Austin fiber underneath the name of Gatton. And as you're aware, you should be aware, Sid is bringing, Gatton Legal is bringing a template that that network management has been working on them with the assistance of Dane in regards to going forward with agreements for TxDOT or third parties or other third parties to where the individual entity fiber can be handled and Gatton would be the person, the entity managing the project and possibly paying out and then being reimbursed by the third party. So for this one in particular, this project is 100% reimbursable to Gatton. Gatton is paying out Gatton is getting reimbursed 45% for this project from TxDOT and 55% for the project from the City of Austin, being in amounts of $28,147 and $34,180, respectfully.
Okay. And this related to this topic, the draft policy on how we will handle these going forward. Is that something we expect to see at the next board meeting, or is it going to come back to the next tech meeting?
Well, it was requested from the last board meeting to come to the next board meeting. So I've been in close contact with Gatton Legal Counsel, and it's anticipated to be in the next board meeting.
Okay. And do you think that we'll be able to get a copy in advance so that we can review it?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, great. Okay. Any other questions on this item? Then let's move on to 6B. Splice case audit discussions.
Okay, so we had a request in the last board meeting to come to the tech meeting with a splice case process documentation illustrating what takes place during a splice case audit. So if you'll look in your handouts under 6B-1, he's got it listed as splice case audit process. If you'll take a few minutes here to review that. I'm just going to illustrate to you the process that takes place out in the field. So the first, you got page 1 of 1, page 2 of 2, and then page 1 of 1 for the final document. So if during your review or at the end of your review, feel free to ask any questions. We brought this forward as requested.
I have a question about some of these. Like number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, those all are verbs. Delash, inspect, open, collect. But I don't know what it is that's happening on like number 5, number 6, number 7. Is this record, write it down?
Yeah, so what you'll see on that final page, Bruce, is that's where that documentation is being collected.
Yep.
That's recorded data.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. This.
So, so these, like, number 5 through something, are sub items for number four.
They are items that are collected on the final document. So collect number four.
Number four says
collect data and photographic material.
And this there's a long list of things that are data that's collected. That's item five through through 18. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right.
It would be correct.
So yeah, this Jaime, I agree with Bruce. I think it would read a little more clear that if it said something to the effect, you know, on four, collect the following data, collect and record the following data, and then you had a list of everything you were recording.
So what is this? So we've provided this to the, and I'm not arguing, I'm not saying anything about what you're saying, Jaime, or what you're saying, Bruce. This is a spreadsheet trying to explain to you how we do a splice case audit.
I'm looking on the process page.
Can y'all hear me? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm looking at the process page for now.
That's understood. So you want us to change the presentation that we're giving you to a certain way?
Well, for future audiences, yes. I'm just trying to reach an understanding of the process here.
Okay.
So this is not something that is given to the vendor to follow. This is just something for illustrating to the tech committee.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay. So like on the process. Okay, collect data and photographic material, okay. And then there's photos.
I guess we could add another cell underneath four that says data to be collected.
Frank, this is John. Is there a document that we're actually giving the vendor for this process as well?
Yeah, it follows this same information, but it's not a presentation format. It's just a scope of work.
Maybe the tech committee would like to see that possibly.
This presentation came from that, but yeah, I mean, we could.
Is that what we're seeing on the screen right now?
Basically, yeah. This is what we're asked for them to do, and we just put that down in the Excel spreadsheet.
Okay. Hey, this is Gary. A question that I have is, after this is completed, what's our process? Is the information that's collected compared to what we'd collected previously? Is it entered into Bentley?
Yes. So that's
what are we doing with the information?
Great questions. So yeah, those are, yeah. So we compare those to what we've collected previously. We'll have a date range for each ring once previously completed, and then we have a date range for each ring going forward, and we compare those two audits to each other and note any changes made to that between the two within Bentley, and that's where it's housed.
This is John. Will the tech committee get a deficiency report then, so that we can kind of identify where we did have deficiencies and how they were, track when they're corrected?
Yes, that's a good one. Yeah, I think we've done that in the past. That hasn't been brought up yet, John. So thank you for the reminder on that deficiency report.
Hey, Frank, what is the frequency that any one splice case will be looked at under this process, barring anything else being wrong with it?
So we approved that in the last board meeting. I don't have access to my G drive right now because I can't VPN to be able to answer that.
Are we talking years?
Yeah. So Carlos or Sarah, do you remember that off the top of your head?
This is Carlos.
This is Dane. I thought it was like 6 years.
It's 5 years is what got approved. I remember that.
If I may say, it's probably it's right actually in the middle. We have 11 rings. Probably we can do two in 1 year. So, you know, we're looking at 5.5 years to complete a cycle.
Yeah. Okay. So 5.5 years, we go look at a spice case, and after 5.5 years, we do this. So, you know, folks, I've been the rabble rouser about all of this. I see these not as an audit, but as a preventive maintenance. You want to make sure the seals are good. You want to make sure that it's not cracked. Maybe it's not hanging down and touching the sidewalk, whatever. I don't think that after 5 years, we need to trace, you know, closely that the engine is connected to the transmission instead of directly to the wheels. We would have known by now if the fibers were misconnected going across the box, and that we can do these PMs faster and cheaper if we just treat them as a PM instead of an audit.
This is John. I'd recommend that we get the data for the first 5.5 years, and then we can reevaluate what the second cycle may require.
Can you expand on that, John? I'm not sure I'm following you.
Well, I think history has shown that people get their hands in the cases, and things do happen to these cases either through, you know, misunderstanding of how things are done, or, you know, weather related, lightning hits, lots of different things happen to these splice cases that we don't realize if we don't go and do these inspections.
Oh, I'm totally in favor of looking these cases over as a preventive maintenance, but I do believe that if the fibers are misconnected from one end of the case to the other, there's going to be an immediate consequence that will reveal itself now instead of 2 or 3 years later.
This is Dane. I think that we had this conversation last month, but it is the case that sometimes when new nodes are added to splice cases or whatnot, sometimes the wrong strands get spliced together. And so this is a way to catch those and update our documentation.
Yeah. And I understand that it can be caught at that point, but I think it's going to be caught when it matters, either immediately when it happens, or when someone tries to use the dark fiber.
Okay, good discussion. Frank, this is Jaime. I'm curious to know if there's deficiencies found on some of these things that are simple to repair, like if it's missing a case ID, is that part of the procedure to correct that?
That's like correct.
What deficiencies do they correct versus which ones do they have to schedule to correct?
So everything on this list, they correct with the exception of a resplice. They would schedule that.
Okay.
I'm just going to say this as nice as I can and the most polite way I can. And, you know, we are the subject matter experts on fiber networks out for outside plant. And this is a splice case audit process that many communication companies use, and if we want to alter that in some way, I don't disagree with it, but let's make sure we're altering it in a way that, for what reason, and in a way that best serves Gatton. Either is it going to be more cost effective, is it better or worse for the network, you know, what's the point of, you know, if we want to make it more simple, what's the risk? You know, so, and I think that's what you're basically asking the subject matter experts is, you know, well, like when John's referring to the deficiency reports from the initial audit compared to the deficiency reports, which I'm assuming is it would be coming from the two cases that we just got, the two rings that we just got approved for. I think that might be a good balance point to revisit, is once we complete the two rings that we just got approved for in the last board meeting. We take those deficiency reports and we create a deficiency report from that and and measure that against the initial audit deficiency reports that were created.
I think there's some merit in that, and we can begin to see, well, when we do these very comprehensive audits of these cases, what are we finding? And we can, if we look at the kinds of problems that are found in the at the splice cases, then we can begin to determine whether each one is each type is worth looking for over and over. I certainly understand we want to be sure of the integrity of the case. I have no question about that. And I'm thinking the earlier you catch a breach of the case, the better. So I think that's really important, and I'm in favor of having a look at what our findings are, you know, historically.
Yeah. So another thing I will add to that, and I see exactly where you're coming from, Bruce, but I will add to that. So if you think about a cable that runs either aerial and underground, it's protected. It's, you know, for now we have armored cable that we're placing out in the field. We have a ton of it that we have placed. And so when you come to us, I just want you to think about this, everyone to think about this. When you come to a splice case, you are exposing fiber. So when you're inspecting the case, the case, you know, itself, you will eventually have problems from a faulty case. Yes, that's correct, due to water, weather damage. These things, compress and expand.
Out there in the sun and the rain and everything.
Yeah, so you're needing also, most importantly, I believe, is to inspect the fiber. So, yeah, we fix crack cases. You know, we replace grommets, rings, you know, things like that. We make sure it's grounded. Things that keep, you know, lower the risk to our network. But then once inside, it's very crucial to make sure the fiber's still in good condition. The actual splices themselves look healthy and are well maintained. So listen, to cap this one off, I've got a deficiency report action item here from the initial audit, and we provided that previously, so we'll go back to those records. We have those on record, and then we'll do a deficiency report for the two that have been recently approved, and I think that'll place us in good standing to move forward as we come to the board for the next two following rings to get approval of. If we can have some of the deficiency reports from at least a portion of the two rings that just got approved, I think that would give us a good snapshot to move forward from and possibly obtain board approval or not for moving forward with splice case audits in the future. How's that sound good?
Sounds good to me.
Very good.
Yeah, that looks really good, Frank. Thank you. I think this will... In time, we'll show whether, you know, it's a good resource or we need to adjust the process.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
This is Jaime. Frank, one more question on this. Do our procedures for splice case audits address pressurized splice cases that are in underground locations?
They do not. And we've talked about this in the past. And, you know, from our original audit, Chris, you may want to if you're on here, Chris, you may want to speak to how we've avoided that. And it's mostly due to because of the area that we're in. You'll see that, you know, some industries or some standards and specifications have those called out in areas where the weather, especially where there's a big swing in the weather, like up north, northeast, northwest, from cold to hot. In Texas, you typically don't see pressurized cases.
Harold, do we use pressurized cases primarily on campus because of our underground?
That's correct.
Yeah. We have, I don't know, like 300 manholes on campus, and they often fill up with water when we get our flash floods, and sometimes the manhole cases are submerged.
What type of cases do you use, may I ask? Because we've had a lot of good experience with these LG350s, the way they seal, keeping the water out. So I'm just curious, is that what you guys are using and pressurizing, Harold?
Yeah, Yeah, in fact, I think the majority of them come with the valve on the outside, so you could flash test, you know, initially when you're done sealing it up. We'll pressurize it and make sure it's holding pressure for, you know, half hour or so. And every once in a while you go back and, you know, when you come across that case again, you'll get another reading on it.
Okay, yeah, let me look more into that and speak to our vendors about that as well as the manufacturers. I know I've done that previously. I've answered that same question, I don't know, 8 years ago, and we held technical subcommittee discussions in regards to it, but it might be something worth revisiting. I know a lot of long haul carriers will use the pressurized system, even throughout, you know, this region, but not typically for, you know, their immediate rings. So let me do some homework into that, if you don't mind, Jaime, and I'll circle back to you. And as the chair, we can decide when I circle back to you if we should bring that back to the tech committee.
Okay. All right. Anything else to discuss on? Lost my agenda here. The dark fiber testing. I'm sorry.
Hey,
splice case audit. Yes.
Hi, this is Bruce. Could you indulge me just one more moment? In a typical month, about how many splice cases are opened outside of the splice case audit process?
That's a good question, Frank.
Yeah, I would say between, it just depends on how many projects, you know, we have going on. I would say probably six on average.
Yeah.
Six to 10, probably.
Is this splice case audit process a part of any of that, or should it be?
It is. So the both contractors are contracted to perform an audit on the case for each project they do, and that's deemed as a second measure.
Uh huh. Okay.
All right. Thank you. I think that does it for agenda item 6B. Let's move on to agenda item 6C, Super Ring North, A2 North reroutes for Capital Complex. And right now we're not planning to look at prints, but if we need to, we can go into executive session. But Frank or Carlos, if you want to lead us through this discussion.
Yes, gentlemen. This is Carlos. I just wanted to make sure, as you saw in the project status report, we highlighted this project in red. However, it didn't have any dates on it as to when it would be performed. We foresee this project getting done at the end of August. However, we don't have a final date on that yet. The reason for putting it on as an item under 6C today is to let you know that the splicing of these two rings will be consecutive. What that means is we will do one ring first and then the other one to try to minimize impact to all the entities. Having said that, DIR will have a complete cut on their node cable probably twice. Or 1.5 time. One time completely, and then the other one will be just half of the second ring that actually happens when we separate it. This is due to trying to correct a problem that we have had that we have talked about in the past in front of the Bob Ulrich Museum, where we have two rings inside of one case. And that will be remedied throughout this project.
Okay. And that's Carlos, sir? Is this the only accommodation that needs to be made for the Capital Complex project? I know it's a large project, so I wanted to ask the question.
Yes, it's the only. We will send out, obviously, GAN alerts, and if we see any impact that will be longer or unusual for our way, our process of doing splicing, we will contact specific entities, and GAN as a whole. But at this point, we don't see that, except for what I just mentioned, which is the DIR node cable. So,
Okay.
Carlos, I'm going to probably reach out to you and at a different time and just really get a good understanding of what we're trying to do at Bob Bullock coming back in.
That's not a problem, sir. We're actually not doing anything new at the Bob Bullock Museum. The problem that we have had in the past and the reasoning for two rings being inside of one case is the fact that the DIR only has one cable going inbound to the node facilities for two rings. And that's the reason. I'm sorry?
Split that out, put them into two separate splice boxes, one in AC north and one in ring north?
We are going to split the node cable now and have Super Ring North traffic in one cable, and A2 North in another one. This is not the way we usually do things. We would usually have one separate cable that would go in, you know, to whatever facility for each of the node cables. But that's not possible in this particular project.
Okay, I'm going to reach out to you and just get some time with you just so I make sure I understand exactly what's going on.
Yes, sir.
It won't take long.
Not a problem, sir. You let me know.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Carlos.
No problem, sir.
I think that's it for the agenda. We don't have anything for executive session. We do plan to discuss the next tech committee. Getting some more information on Bentley to understand how accurate it is and how frequently it's being updated. So if you could, please take a look at Bentley to see if you see any deficiencies that we need to discuss next month. Okay, nothing for agenda item 7. So we'll go ahead on agenda item 8 and confirm the date, time, and location of the next technical subcommittee meeting as August 18th, 2020. 1:30 p.m. via video conference. The time now is 2:12 p.m. and this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Thank you.